man, I'm excited because I'm expecting, anticipating, but there is something that is happening at ICC. Can someone give me a mighty amen? I can't articulate it. I don't know. What I do know is that we are annoying the heck out of Satan. Everywhere we're turning, people are getting pushed back, getting just at their limit. And the only reason that is happening is when he wants you out. And nothing to compare to what Pastor Robert went through, but out of nowhere, I've had more health issues in the last 12 months than I've ever had. I also was internally bleeding 2 weeks ago, but by the grace of God, they found it. After surgery, my blood pressure went down to 70, so they're tipping my bed upside down to get it. In the whole midst of that, I was like, I must be doing something so bad to the enemy because I was supposed to lead. Worship was amazing the Sunday I was away. One, because it was my list. Because I gave Gilbert my list and I was so annoyed because I wanted that list. It was one that I'd prayed for many, many hours. That's why I heard it went amazing. But I was being texted in the middle of hospital going, prayer was phenomenal. Worship was indescribable. And the sermon was, I just heard, I don't know. I didn't know any more words. But I just thinking, God, you are surpassing everything that we're trying to do. You're just taking it. And that scripture that says, Isaiah 54, I read the heading for that. It says, spread out and get ready to think bigger. Which is the one that enlarge your tent, stretch wide your curtains, don't hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. God's ready to move. See, enlarge your tent saying you need to get stronger. The stakes is about to hold us in place. But he says, spread out, get ready to move and think big. And the thing is, if you were here last Sunday, I feel like I want to tell people, don't miss any Sunday because you just don't know what's going to happen. You're going to miss a service. You're literally going to be back a week. But I didn't preach last Sunday, in case you didn't find out in China. I did not preach a full sermon last Sunday. But who was here? Was it not amazing? Outstanding. Amen. Do you know what? You know you're doing something right when people are getting saved just in worship. People are giving their life to Christ just in worship. One of the people who gave their life said to me, I don't understand what was happening to me in worship. I couldn't, and strong, don't cry, very, but I could not. So I know that the power of God is moving and he doesn't need a sermon, but I have preached a sermon. I've got a sermon. Amen. But then on Sunday night, Jim spoke and he spoke exactly what I wanted to speak about. And I was like, I didn't have proof because I actually didn't preach because he would have been able to say, oh, well, I'm just going to expand on what Pastor Morality did. But he couldn't because he didn't hear anything that I said. But he spoke about transition and changing and how that looks. And when we begin to anticipate a move of God, when there's such a stirring, even though we don't know what is going on, I want to show you what the word transition means. It means a movement is happening or a change of position is about to happen. A movement or a change of position. And when we declare over ICC, we're expecting a move of God, anticipating, guess what? We're anticipating a change of position. That is what is happening over our house of ICC. Even in prayer this morning, I felt God say to me, the enemy is worried about ICC when they wake up because he's fearful about the fire that is being released in that place that it is about to unrelease in all of their place. We are a place of influence. Come on. Are you here? We are a place of influence. Someone say amen. Come into agreement with me. We are a place of influence. And when we're a place of influence, we become an incubator for the supernatural to stay in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to see cities changed. I want to see blind eyes open. I want to hear the deaf come to life. I want people to go, I need to be in the house of God. I need that because I need a change of my position. Amen. I need that. And God says, if you're anticipating it, I'm going to give it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, this is what I spoke about last Sunday. The boys had been spending all this time with Jesus and just being with him and giving up their life. But they said to him, teach us how to pray. And he said to the boys, this is how you should pray. Don't you like it when it's so simple? This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us for our transgressions and keep us from the evil one. Most of us know that. Most of us know this prayer. But I want to just focus on what a little bit I started last week. That the very first thing that God said is declare who I am. Declare who your Father is. Because who you know your Father is, then he is the source of everything that is going to happen from him. So he said right now, come, not to my finances, not to my boss, not to my husband, not to my blessing. Go to your Father who is in heaven. Hallowed, sovereign is your name. The very next thing he said, speak. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say address the enemy. He didn't say even worry about your food. That came later. He said the very first thing I want you to declare for yourself is to declare the kingdom of God to be alive in you. He said, I want you to establish who I am. But before everything else, your finances, your food, your enemies fighting you, I want you to establish who you are. Let the kingdom of God come, be here on earth as it is in heaven. See, the enemy has to know. The enemy has to know that if he's going to choose to touch me, he's going to touch heaven. He has to know that even on this earth, that if he wants to choose to attack me, he has got to have a revelation that if he touches me, he will touch heaven. And he knows what heaven's like because he used to be there. But God said, Jesus said, boys, people, I want you to pray this, that his kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. This is not something that we're supposed to wait for. This is supposed to be something that we're living out from. See, we have to understand that he wants you to say, I want you to speak heaven out. See, we go, God, we go to our prayer, we go to our list, God, you know, I'm going through this at work, I'm going through that at home, you know that we're going through this. And God's saying, hold on. The prayer said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, got that. Then take your need and introduce it to heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth. So God, my finances are going through. Finances, let me take you to what heaven looks like. Sickness, let me take you to what heaven looks like. Heaven looks like I'm healed, I'm in authority, I'm whole. That's what heaven looks like. So sickness, understand your position on earth. Your position is that you live under the kingdom. That's what your position is. My sickness lives under the position of the kingdom's blessing. He said, pray the kingdom of heaven to be on earth in your situation. My finances, they are breaking down. God, okay, Morella, bring them to the heavenly place. Take them to heaven. Guess what, finances? I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to show you what heaven looks like. And heaven says to me that I don't have to worry about anything because the cattle of 1,000 hills is his. So finances, let me introduce you to heaven right here, right now at this very moment. He said you have to start to declare that it's his kingdom. When my situation touches his situation and his situation takes dominion, I begin to walk the way God has called me and purposefully built me for. This is what the kingdom of God, I need to collide, but it has to happen with me bringing it into a place. Take your situation and see what heaven's got to say about it. I'm not saying pretend it's not happening. I'm saying take it and take it straight to heaven. What would this look like in heaven, God? And he will speak to you. Oh, is that what? That looks whole and healed. That's what it looks like. That looks fulfilled and promised. That looks like accomplished and peaceful. That's what it looks like. And God says, take it. Let heaven come into it. That's what God says to it. So the next part of 2018, I want to be a person who knows what heaven does and what it feels like to be in just engaged with heaven completely. See, we're in a place where people we are just breaking down. We've heard about the suicide. I know Tawana spoke about it. But do you know people that commit suicide because of their past and the hopelessness of today? But see, my Bible says to me, forget the former things. He never addresses my past. He never speaks to my past. Because he says when I've gone to him, he's forgotten it. And then he says, but you need to forget your former past. And he speaks about my today and my future. He says, I have a future for you. And it's full of hope and prosperity and blessings. God only speaks about your hope of the future that you've got. And about my today, he says, let heaven collide with your today. So the enemy is stealing everything, not because he has got authority, but he keeps reminding them of their past. But God says, I'm in today, and I want you to live out of today, which is I want you to collide with heaven today. Forget the former things. I just found myself that every time I'm thinking of something in the past, I'm allowing the enemy to speak to me. Every time I think of something that has happened in the past that brings a bit of, it means the enemy speaking. So I have to instantly mute it. But my today is kingdom ordained, heaven brought down. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 6, I want to show you how we live, Matthew 6, how we live, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And it's a bit of a strange place, but I want you to just stay with me as I just unfold this today. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 6. Elijah and Elisha have been on a journey, and I wish I could go in time to show you what led them to this very moment that we're about to read from. How God had spoken to Elijah, and how Elijah had run away, and God had called him out, and all the blessing, all the massive, incredible, supernatural stuff. And how Elisha came to this moment. But I can't for time reason, but maybe in the next couple I will speak about it. But Elisha said to him, this is he's talking to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, this is Elisha, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at the distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elisha took the mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. So they've been on a journey. They've been to Gilgal, they've been to Bethel, they've been to Jericho, and now they're here at the Jordan. Now Elisha took the mantle in verse 8, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over dry ground. Can someone say dry ground? Dry ground. Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and it divided this way and that so that the two of them crossed over. Everyone say. Okay, ICC, where are we? It's dry ground. And so it was when they crossed over that Elisha said to Elijah, ask, what may I do for you before that I am taken from you? And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be. Now Elisha took the mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it divided this way and that. So the two of them crossed over on. The word for dry ground in Hebrew is arahab. Is it there? You can see it? Arahab, which means desert ground. Now, I'm not the smartest person in this room, but under a river or an ocean or a lake, there is not desert-looking ground. There would be soggy, wet, muddy, soft, sinking ground. Are you with me? Stay with me, ICC. But as Elisha took the mantle, rolled it out, struck the water, and it divided this way and that, the two of them crossed over desert ground. The word dry ground or the word desert ground is only used 8 times in the Bible. It was used after the flood had finished. It was used in Exodus chapter 14 where Moses stretched out his hand and the Red Sea was parted. It was like desert ground. In Joshua chapter 3, when the priests were carrying the ark of the Lord and they crossed the Jordan and their soles of their feet were on desert ground. In Ezekiel chapter 30, he says, I will make a river like a desert ground. So what I'm trying to say is it was only referred to in the Bible when there was supernatural was about to take place. See, ICC, we have to understand that God is saying to you, no matter what is hovering on the top, beneath you is a strong ground. Are you here with me? Whatever storm you are facing on your surface, God is saying, if you look on down, I'm going to give you dry desert ground. What does it mean with a dry desert ground? You can walk quite comfortably. You can walk with a solid ground underneath it. It is not soggy from the elements of what the water has done. It is not a muddy and just murky because of what has been on top of it. But God says that when you part it, I'm going to show you that you will walk on solid desert-like ground. It's going to be solid beneath your feet, which means that when you're in a storm, the dry ground is going to be your foundation. When it means that you're going through a hard time, the storm is going to show to you, split it up, and watch that God has got a desert-like ground beneath you. Can someone give me a mighty amen? God says if you part it, if you split it, if you will open it, you will see exactly what you are standing on, says the Lord. You are standing on Harab land. You are standing on dry desert land. And God says, I will sustain you on that. If that ground needs water, I will cause rivers to come through. But unless I cause rivers to touch that land, you walk on desert dry ground, solid dry ground, says the Lord. It doesn't matter what is showing itself on the surface for the rest of this year. Doesn't matter what is happening above the ground. It's what you've got to know is what you're walking on is established as dirt and strong ground. Part two of 2018. Get ready to roll that mantle up and get ready to strike the waters because the supernatural will flow. Get ready to roll up the mantle. Get ready, ICC, to strike the water because we are about to see the supernatural flow. If we get an understanding that what we walk on is not what is above us, but what is beneath us, the Zohar says you don't care what is happening above. You have to understand what I've given you as a foundation. You carry the mantle, ICC, to release the supernatural. You carry the mantle. Elijah didn't go find a mantle. He never went and sought one. He had the mantle. And that mantle took him to the grave where he said, God, no more. That mantle took him to the fire where he smelt the fire. He took him to the place where every prophet of Baal came against him. That mantle was still on him. But when the time came, that mantle is what split the ocean in two. You carry the mantle. ICC, we carry the mantle that will release the supernatural to happen. You got to recognize that you are right now having a mantle upon your life because the Goliaths of this season is nothing compared to what is coming. But our mantle will bring down the entire generation of Goliaths. I'll say that again. The Goliath in this season is nothing compared to what is coming. But the mantle that we have is about bringing the generation of Goliaths down with your one mantle. Each of you can teach what you know, but you will produce what you are. You can teach what you know, but you will only produce what you are. So I'm asking you, you have to be ready to change your position if you want this to happen. Stop defining yourself by the situation that you're in. Define yourself by what is beneath you, dry ground. Stop defining yourself by the situation that you're facing right now and define yourself or define the situation by what is beneath you, dry ground. In Matthew 14, We all know this story when Peter and his disciples were in a boat that God had sent them out. And when the disciples saw him, he walked away into the lake and they were terrified. Jesus had asked them to go out into the ocean and there's a storm that's coming out and they're just out there. And Jesus went to pray. But he comes out to meet the boys. And when they saw him in the middle of the night, in the darkness of night, walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come on the waters." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached down his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why do you doubt me?" If you are going to walk with this mantle of supernatural, you can't have your eye on what is on the natural. If you are going to walk with this new mantle of supernatural, you cannot have your eye on what is in the natural. Once Peter put his eyes back on the natural, the supernatural left him. When Peter put his eyes back on what was natural, the supernatural left. Peter carried the mantle, and what Jesus was doing was exposing him to his mantle. He was saying, "Peter, you've got a mantle to operate under the supernatural." That is what he was saying. That's why he had no fear. But what I want to also point out is that on the boat, there was not just Peter. There were others. But nobody asked, only Peter. What that says to me is that as a church, not everyone's going to want to come with us. They're going to watch, but not everyone's going to be able to come across with us. But you know what? That's not my problem. My problem is to make sure my mantle is splitting everything in two. That what is my mantle. What you choose to do under the teaching that comes out of this house, you're accountable for. I speak with the permission of the Holy Spirit and your senior pastor. What you hear, you are accountable for. What you now walk out of this building with, you become accountable for. Once Peter put his eye back on the natural, the supernatural left him. But see, as our senior pastor preached just before he left, he preached an amazing sermon about eternity. And he basically said, we want a full-time God on our side, but we only want to be part-time Christians. We want God to move on our side. God, you should be healing me. God, you should be protecting me. God, you should be doing this. But actually, in my day-to-day, I can only be a part-time Christian. But the mantle that you are carrying is not just for you to survive. Your mantle is to break the water in two. Nora, let me call you back up. Elijah took his mantle, he rolled it up, and he struck the water. He had it. God spoke to Moses and said, "Moses, what is in your hand? Because that is what I'll use." He didn't say to Elijah, "Go have a 3-hour prayer meeting, go find a fasting moment and come back to me." He said, "Take the mantle, roll it up and strike it." What you are carrying right now is all you need. ICC, can I bring a moment of freedom? What you have right now is all you need. You are carrying the blessings and the favor of God on your life. You are carrying everything that God says you need right now. If you want more, God says, "I will give you more." But what you need for what you're facing right now, you've got it. God, if only I had more. God says, "No, give me the faith that you got. I'll still use that." God's never saying to me, "You need to be better, Morella." He says, "Be you, because I made you. I will disappoint my father, but he will never leave me. I may drop the ball a few times, too many, but he will never turn his face from me." Elijah took his mantle. It's what he had. I just want to break that one more time. Stop believing that you need to be better than what you are. Yes, you need forgiveness. We all do. Each single one of us in this room does. The first things that Jesus said was about repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. But he never said, this is my expectation for you. He said, my expectation is that you come. Come just as you are. But as you are, be bold in knowing who you are. You've got the mantle. You've got the mantle, Morella. In a hospital, I had the mantle of healing. It may not look like it in the natural, but beneath me was desert ground. He was carrying it the whole time. When he went to Gilgal, when he went to Bethel, when he went to Jericho and at Jordan, he had it the whole time. You're carrying what you need for now. But I have to ask you, what is going to define this moment is if you use it. Tell Satan, I'm about to use my mantle. You better back off because I'm about to use my mantle. And it's going to reveal everything that I know. Satan, I'm going to use my mantle on my marriage. I'm going to use my mantle on my healing. I'm going to use my mantle on my destiny. I'm going to use my mantle to declare that depression stays here. I'm going to split it in two. I'm going to use my mantle to break the distraction that you've been coming against me and release the breakthrough that I'm supposed to be walking in. My mantle will show you that if I go to war, you're going to meet God back face to face. And unless you don't want to see God, Satan, you need to back off my life. You have to understand, I'm not scared to use my mantle. I will use my mantle. I will roll it up and it'll sound like a mighty little girl, Italian girl with a fiery spirit inside, but I will shred you to pieces. I'm not afraid to use my mantle this morning. I'm not afraid to use my mantle. There might be a Jordan in front of you that is stopping you from crossing over to where God is calling you. There might be a Jordan that looks like you're at the end of your rope. There might be a Jordan that looks like it can't change. But right now, there's a mantle in your hands. As you see, let's stand. There's a mantle in your hands. I'm here to do one thing and to tell you that the enemy is a liar. He is a pathetic liar. He has nothing new because he's not omnipresent. He's not all-powerful and he's not all-knowing. So he's got no new tactics. He's only using what he's always done. The problem is that we keep giving him access to let those things keep moving. But this morning, I want you to close your eyes. And can you feel the mantle? That mantle has been with you in Jericho, where the walls were so strong against you. And the mantle was when you went to Bethel, where the breath of God resides. It was in Gilgal with you. It was in the Jordan. It's in the cave and it's in the brokenness, but it's still on you. God will never take the mantle off you. You can remove it this morning, but he will not take it off you. For those that have given their life to Christ, you've been given a mantle. And this morning I'm asking you, are you willing to roll it up and use it this morning? Are you willing to use it? Because there's no point expecting a move of God if we're not ready to see everything split in two. June, July separates part one and part two. God says, I've called a natural splitting. Now what will you do? What are you going to do? What are we going to do? I speak over this house that we are an incubator for the supernatural to be out from, released out from. But out of this house, God, everybody that walks in this place, when they come in with their mantle, it will touch supernatural, so that when they walk out of this place, They walk into their offices. They walk into their schoolrooms. They walk into their places of influence, and they walk in with the mantle of the supernatural that will split the enemy's plan in two. God's saying, I don't want you to be you. I want you to use the mantle that I gave you. I want you to roll it up and speak to that mantle. And so you need to manifest the way God had called you to manifest. And that is that the kingdom now begin to meet heaven right here in this room. This morning, I want to speak to who wants to be a David, who wants to be an Elijah, who wants to be a Joshua, who want to be the Rebekahs of this world. If that's you, lift your hand. If you want to be the David, Satan, bring Goliath. I'm not afraid to use my mantle. I don't need spheres. I don't need rods. I don't need anything. I got a mantle, and I'm not afraid to use it.